Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call the Braille Revival League meeting to order. My name is Delore Gentro. I'm president of BRLF. I'd like to welcome everyone here in person at the convention and also those on Zoom as well. So I do call the meeting to order. I'm not sure how we do a roll call. Is everybody a member inside in this building? Okay. You think we have a quorum?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The first order of business will be to approve the minutes from the 2022 convention. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Like I said, we're moving on to the approval of the minutes from the 2022 convention. I'll entertain a motion to do so. Is there a second? Okay. Any corrections or additions? All those in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. This week, Liz sent me the treasurer's report, and I sent it out to everybody. Did everyone receive it? Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor of approving the treasurer's report, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Okay. The other order of business we're going to be doing this morning is our election of officers, and those officers will be for president, first vice president, second vice president, secretary, and treasurer. Is Katie in the house?
No.
Yes. The record will reflect that. Welcome aboard. Nigel said he's present. I can't. He said immediate past president is here. I don't have them, and plus they'll be approved at the August 3 meeting when we have a new president. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I said, yeah. August 3rd. Yeah, August 3rd. Okay, we were supposed to have Katie do a raffle drawing for the prizes and door prizes, and to also carry out, she's chair of the nominating committee. Anyone else from the nominating committee here? I think we have Doug Hall on the committee and Barbara Brown. Are either one here? Okay, so we'll, yes, that was Barbara.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Well, this is our BRLF meeting, but I know everybody in here already knows that. So welcome to our people on FCB Media Zoom. And we are going to start by thanking our host, Travis, who is hosting for us today. So if you guys on Zoom have questions, you'll pop up your hands, and Travis will call on you. So Delore asked me also to handle our elections this morning. I'd like to thank my election helping committee, which was Doug Hall and Barbara Brown. Barbara, you haven't escaped yet, have you? Running to get that card. All right, so these are our 2023-2025 officers that the BRLF Nominating Committee slate is presenting. I will read the slate, and then we will go back and take nominations from the floor. President, we've nominated Pat Lepofsky. First Vice President, Delore Gentro. Second Vice President, Sherry Mullengraff, Secretary Judy Birch, and Treasurer Elizabeth Bowden. All right, so let's step back to President, and I'm going to ask three times. We're putting forth the name of Pat Lepofsky. Do we have any other nominations for President? Do we have any other nominations for President?
Yes, Katie.
Who is nominating who?
This is Mary, and I'm nominating Elizabeth.
Okay. All right, so we've had a nomination from the floor. Mary is nominating Elizabeth Bowden. Elizabeth, do you accept?
Yes.
Okay, Elizabeth accepts. Sheila also, Sheila has a raised hand. Sheila, are you nominating?
No, I'm not nominating. I have a point of order. Can a person be a president of two separate special interests of India?
Yes.
According to our bylaws. Okay, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, they can.
That's what I needed. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so are there any other nominations for president? We have Pat Lepofsky, and we have Elizabeth Bowden. Okay, so I'm not sure how we're going to do this. I guess we're going to have to do a voice vote, and people on Zoom will have to raise hands. So first we're going to ask for hands for Pat and then hands for Elizabeth. So anyone on Zoom who wants to vote for Pat, raise your hand. In the meeting room, if you'd like to vote for Pat, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, I think people in the room need to have a hand raised. Mark, can you count hands for me in the room? So people in the room voting for Pat, raise your hand. For people on Zoom, if you're voting, raise your hand for Pat. Travis, do we have any hands on Zoom for Pat in the attendees?
No.
Okay. All right, Mark, you done counting?
Yes.
All right. So those of you who would like to vote for Elizabeth Bowden for president, in the meeting room, raise your hand, and on Zoom, raise your hand. So we're voting for Elizabeth. All hands up for Elizabeth in the meeting room and on Zoom. Mark, tell me when you're done counting. Okay, and I see we have one hand on Zoom. Am I
yes.
right? Okay. And Mark, in the meeting room, just tell us who got the most votes, Pat or Elizabeth?
Elizabeth.
Okay, Elizabeth Bowden, congratulations for presidency of BRLF for the next 2 years. Now we're going to do first vice president. The committee has put forth the nomination of Delore Ginchereau. Are there any other nominations for first vice president? Are there any other nominations for first vice president? Are there any other nominations for first vice president?
I move nominations be closed and that Delore be approved by the
who said that?
Irene.
Okay, Irene said votes that nominations be closed and that Delore is voted by acclamation.
Paul Edwards seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Congratulations, Delore.
Thank you.
Okay. So for second vice president, the committee has put the name of Ms. Sherry Mullengraff forth. Do we have any other nominations from the floor? Do we have any other nominations from the floor for second vice president? Do we have any other nominations from the floor for second vice president?
I move that the nominations be closed.
Okay, Georgia is moving that nominations be closed. Do you want it to vote by acclamation, Georgia?
Vote by acclamation.
Okay, and she's also adding acclamation. Do we have a second?
Nigel
Reigart second. Congratulations, Sari. Sherry Malengroff, BRLF second vice president. Okay, guys, now we have a bit of a problem. Oh, let's do secretary first. This will be easy. All right, secretary. We don't have a problem yet. Secretary, the committee has put forth the name of Judy Birch August. Are there any nominations from the floor for secretary? Are there any other nominations for secretary for BRLF? Are there any other nominations for secretary for BRLF? Okay, and Elizabeth said she votes that nominations be closed and that Judy Birch August will be our secretary by acclamation. Who seconded it?
I did.
Okay, whose I did?
Georgia.
Georgia, all in favor?
Aye.
Everybody said yes. All right, moving on to treasurer. Now, this is where we have a bit of a problem. Because Elizabeth is now our prez that will take place after our next at the beginning of our next meeting. So we're going to need nominations from the floor.
Katie, are you prepared to run for treasurer?
No, sir. I can't. I already have two slots. Okay, do we have nominations from the floor for treasurer?
Yes.
Okay, Mary, who are you nominating? Mary is nominating Nancy Folsom for treasurer. Nancy, do you accept?
Yes.
Okay, well, just you have to check, just to make sure. Because if you said no, we'd have to beat up Mary. All right, so now we have the name of Nancy Folsom for treasurer. Second time, are there any nominations for treasurer for BRLF? Are there any nominations for treasurer for BRLF? Okay, so Paul just recommended that nominations be closed and that Nancy will be our treasurer by acclamation. Who is our second?
Georgia.
Georgia seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Congratulations, Nancy. All right, so elections are complete for 2023-2025. Congratulations, everyone. We have Elizabeth Bowden for president. First vice president is Delore Gincherow. Second vice president is Sherry Malengroff. Secretary is Judy Birch August. And treasurer is Nancy Folsom.
Yay.
Mr. President, I am done.
Katie, thank you a lot for doing this, along with your committee. You did a great job. I want to congratulate the officers and look forward to working with everybody. Katie, are you still here?
I haven't snuck out the door yet.
How do we get how can we get a roll call called in this environment?
Roll call would be difficult because we'd have to pass a microphone around the room. There's a cordless mic. But do you want to do your panel first? I'm afraid you're going to run out of time, Delore.
Because we already did that, sort of. We said that.
Okay, Elizabeth, we can't hear you on Zoom.
Sorry, that's fine. Whatever works. Our next item of business is the program that we had set up to do at this meeting. And the program, as the convention call pointed out, that it's going to be about Braille and different stages of Braille that we've used in life. If we have a panel.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's Dolores' mic.
Sorry about that. Through different stages of life, the panel is Sheila Young, Nancy Folsom, and Richard Sawyer, and also we want participation from the audience as well. So let's start with the panel. We'll start with Nancy Folsom. Okay. Sheila, oh, I'm sorry. Let Sheila go. Sheila, you're up.
Well, good morning, everybody. I wish I was there in person, but unfortunately, I am in my hospital bed. So, but at least luckily, I'm able to be via Zoom. Thank you for having this hybrid convention so that I could take part, because I would be heartbroken. Anyway, when they asked me about being on the panel, I said, well, yeah, I can, because I've actually had an interesting journey with Braille. I have retinitis pigmentosa, which most of you know is a retinal disease that is a deterioration of the retina. And as I was young, I was low vision. I could read large print. The doctor said, well, Sheila, I can't do anything any stronger on your glasses unless I cut off your nose. But when I was in high school, my mother got a hold of the Commission for the Visually Impaired, or I think it was called the Commission for the Visually Handicapped in the Norfolk, Virginia area. And I was in the 10th grade. They came out, sent a lady out to teach me Braille, and I said, I don't need Braille. I am not blind. I do not want to learn Braille. And I refused to learn Braille. Boy, am I sorry now. Then, when I was in 2000, so y'all figure it out, I was 46. And I went to the Rehab Center for the Blind and Visually Handicapped in Richmond. And I learned Braille. And I thought, well, I'll learn it, you know, and they were explaining to me the different ways I could use it. And so when I learned it, I got through. I was there for 3 months learning mobility and computer and Braille and independent living skills and cooking. And I knew how to cook, but I didn't know how to cook without being able to see. And all the different tips that they gave me. And I went home and I thought, okay, what can I use this for? So I ended up at that time, which was in 2000, 2001, and ended up going to the rehab center for a refresher in Braille. Well, lo and behold, I came to Orlando in 2004. Got a job in 2005 working with blind, low vision, and multiply challenged children from the age of 3 to 5th grade. And guess what was one thing that I taught them? Braille. Who would have thought that that would be a turn? So I worked 14 years and retired. Actually, I retired 4 years ago today. So that is pretty much the story of how Braille has affected my life. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share that little tidbit. Braille is so, so essential. If you don't do anything else with it but self-communicate, I put it on all of my bills. I put it on all of my legal documents. I brailled all of the door prize tickets for this weekend. So thank goodness I also thought to print on it, because I'm not there to tell Pam what the print is or what the braille is. So anyway, so thank you. And Dolores, thanks for inviting me, and we'll turn it over to the next person.
Thank you very much, Sheila. I appreciate it. Next individual will be Nancy Folsom.
Well, I was born with a lot of vision problems. I have a condition that is similar to retinopathy of prematurity. However, I was not a preemie. And then I developed glaucoma at an early age as a result probably of just having weakened conditions with my eyes. And so the doctors informed my parents that they didn't feel that I would have very much vision as I aged. They felt that by the time, you know, I reached adulthood or late teens, that I would be blind. So they encouraged my parents to go ahead and teach me skills then, while I still had some vision and was still able to, you know, maintain in a sighted world. So my parents, thankfully, thought that was a great idea, and they sent me to the School for the Blind in St. Augustine, where I learned all kinds of skills, including Braille. Yes, and I knew Mary Tyson. So anyway, so, you know, I learned Braille, and I stayed there for a couple of years, and then I went off to public school, and my parents encouraged me to keep reading Braille. And matter of fact, they bought all kinds of Braille books for me, and I was on, you know, in part of the Braille and Talking Book Library. And I was kind of like Sheila in that, like, look, I can see, I can read, why do I need this? But I did it because I was a little obedient little girl. I'm not anymore, but anyway. and then I found out, well, this is kind of cool. I can read in the dark. And of course, all my friends thought that was just totally awesome. You know, I'd read stories to them in the dark, and, you know, it was really awesome. And so I developed a love of reading, and Braille was so much easier because my eyes didn't tear and get tired, and I didn't get headaches. And, you know, so I started realizing that Braille was helpful, even though I could see, if I labeled things, you know, spices or various household items, whatever. And so I learned that it really had a very important use to me, even though I could still see. So, well, I guess late high school, I had a serious bout with glaucoma. Got really sick. And thankfully, when I came out of that, I still had a good bit of vision, but I was like, oh, this is really going to happen, most likely. And sure enough, when I was 22 years old, I woke up one morning and I couldn't see. I could see the light. I couldn't see anything else. And so I was really grateful that I already had the Braille skills that I needed, because it made the transition so much easier. Did I miss being able to see? Yes, of course, but being able to read Braille really opened up some, you know, a totally different world for me, and I wasn't isolated like many people are who don't know Braille. And I highly, highly encourage you, if you don't know it, learn it. It's just changed my life. It's made things so much, so much easier. And to this day, you know, of course, I use it in my everyday life with my Braille displays and my I even used the old Perkins the other day. So it's really, you know, just been so wonderful and made life so much easier for me. I used to take notes in college with the slate and stylus. I was quite a whiz. Yeah. So, you know, but then I could read them, and there you go. It was great. But, you know, if there's anyone out there listening and you need, you know, somebody to be a pen pal or help you in any way learning Braille, contact me, because I just can't imagine life without it. And I want to thank the committee for asking me to be on the panel. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nancy. Really good job. And next person on our panel is Richard Sawyer.
Electronics. I hate them. I learned Braille due to becoming blind when I was almost 9 years old. And I had a tutor who came in from a Massachusetts Commission for the Blind a couple times a week. And so between February and August, I had learned enough Braille to get enrolled in a school for the blind, Perkins in Watertown, Mass. And I was all up to snuff on my Braille at that time. Now I use Braille every day. I have a Perkins on my desk. I have many times I carry a little slate and stylus. It's got five lines on one side. You flip it over, you get six lines of Braille. It gives you, 209 Braille cells. So I do a lot of shorthand Braille. But it doesn't matter because I have to read it anyway. I know there's a grade 3 out there, but I don't know. I think at my age, maybe I just ought to be happy with what I have. And I do a great deal of Braille reading. There's nothing like holding a Braille book. So I do a lot of my reading at night when I can't sleep. Read through maybe 150 pages a night in Braille. And it's been such a wonderful friend. And I encourage anybody who is interested and is having vision problems to learn Braille as quickly as they can. I use it for shopping lists, medical appointments. Oh my God, you know? And it's a wonderful resource. Okay? I think that's about all I have to say. And I thank you for inviting me on this panel discussion.
Well, thank you, Richard. I really appreciate it. Now, what I want to do, or what we want to do, is turn it over to the audience. So if Mark's still out there with a microphone, if you want to make comments, raise your hands. We want to hear from you guys. Go ahead. Pat says she's going first. So here's.
Could someone please close the door at the back?
Good morning, everybody. First, I want to congratulate the new officers and the other officers that got reelected. Congratulations, everyone. So I got started with Braille when I was about 5 years old. I was mainstreamed through school, and I got started in first grade with a Braille teacher that used to come a couple times a week and taught me Braille in addition to a lot of other things. She also taught me how to write in print. She taught me how to sign my name, just a whole barrage of other things. But I did get started then with the Braille. And throughout my life, I've used Braille quite a bit. I am currently, a techie person, so I do use the computer a lot. But I still use my Braille, growing up and through my years, I had Braille cookbooks. And I still today use Braille calendar because, these electronics are great, but we never know when something's going to happen. So I like Braille as a backup. If I have an agenda, I usually write it in Braille because I learned about 5 or 6 years ago that a note taker is wonderful. Until you get to a meeting and you turn it on and it doesn't come on. So I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm going back to paper. So now I Braille. I just use Braille for a variety of things. And, I know there's a lot of people that feel it's secondary, but I feel it is important. And yes, we are in the computer age with all of our wonderful devices. But Braille is so important, and I wish that they would push it more in the school system with the visually impaired kids. because I truly think it is something important. And even though the younger children may shy away from it because, again, they have their computers and their devices, they don't know at that age how important it is for them to have it as a backup. So anyway, that's all I have to say, and thank you.
All right, I got Mary Tyson over here.
Okay, who's up next, Mark?
It's Mary Tyson.
Okay.
You guys can't get away from me. I was super lucky. I was blind as an infant. I was like 9 months old. But my grandmother was an educator and taught for 40 years in the school system of Florida. And my mother was an educator. And they decided that I was going to be keeping up with my sibs. So my grandmother at the age of 50 plus taught herself Braille so that she could teach me Braille, which was super cool. And then my mother learned it as well. And when I went away to school in St. Augustine, they used to write me letters in Braille. And not a lot of kids had that happen. I was super lucky. And so Braille has been very important to me. I used the Braille books from the library forever. And now I download them on my Braille display, which is wonderful. And as much as I use and listen to and love audiobooks, listening to audiobooks does not teach you how to spell. And I think that's something that people often don't think about. In Braille, it's like reading in print. You see the letters, and you're going to learn how to spell better. I think a lot of people miss out on that. So, like I said, I've been really lucky, and I am a tremendous advocate for the use of Braille. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary. Very much. Anyone else out there?
Yeah, we do. Here you go. I don't know your name, so.
Hi, this is Jody. I have attempted to learn Braille several times, and because I have RP and had enough sight, I had not learned it. That was good English. I have not learned it yet, and I really do need to use it. So when people ask me large print or Braille, I'm like, neither, because neither work for me. So I wish I would have learned it, but I want to learn it, and I've been trying to do it through Hadley, and I was wondering, how do I find out if there is a school in my situation, because I'm not in elementary school or middle school, where I can, I think Sheila mentioned that she did a transition program that was 3 months long. I didn't know if there's something I would qualify for that, because doing it by myself through Hadley has been challenging. I did it at the Lighthouse in Broward, but I don't live there anymore. I don't live near a lighthouse. So I was curious what direction for that. Thanks.
Katie, is there anyone on Zoom?
Travis, do we have a hand? I don't think we do.
Okay, to answer Jody's question, there are several programs. We can also help you out by getting you in contact with some of the groups that FCB runs, I believe weekly, where they have Braille Pals. Any one of us would be happy to help you and have taught Braille before. I have. And also, I know you met Nancy Folsom today. She'd be happy to be a pen pal with you. And so we can help you get started and make sure that Braille is as wonderful for you as it is for us. I know I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have Braille, and my story is kind of strange because I was mainstreamed, but I was shown in about the ninth grade that even though they didn't say this, it was implied that print was better. And I stopped using Braille for about 4 or 5 years and struggled reading print and doing all the print things. Now, my mother did do a lot of the Brailling for me, and I did have about 3/4 of my school materials Brailled, but the other quarters I read in print. Braille was a real good thing if you wanted to cheat in PE. They used to give us tests on the worksheets. She'd bring all the worksheets at night, put them on the table, staple them together. I'd wait till she went to bed, unstaple them, write the answers right by the questions. So a teacher's reading, okay, in football, which is the defense? A, line of scrimmage. B, quarterback. C, so I'd wait till she read the whole thing, and then I'd wait for a minute like I was thinking, A. Because I'd written A right by the question. Nobody ever knew, and I never had to study for P. So you can do some fun things with Braille, but after high school and after I was in a couple years of college, I discovered that I wasn't me without Braille. That wasn't who I was. That wasn't, it didn't make me better. I wasn't as competitive as I could have been. And so I stopped reading print, except for when I had to work. And I brushed up on my Braille skills, and now I don't know what I would do without Braille. So however you use it, be it electronically, on hard copy, or if you make your own stuff, like I make my own calendars, it's always a very good part of a lot of people. So I would encourage anybody to read it and learn it, because you can also do, you know, like I said, a lot of neat things with it besides cheating in school. But does anybody have, who is next?
Yeah, I was born legally blind. Sherry Mollengrath. They didn't realize it until I was in kindergarten, and with really, really thick glasses, I could kind of see. It was like a high partial. My mother was told that my vision would stay the same. It would never get worse. And even though during the, you know, in the years, I thought it might be nice to learn Braille, but no, I don't have to worry about it. I'll always be a partial. So I learned to read in print, large print and everything. And there were schools that would tell my mother that I should be sent to blind school, school for the blind, to be, get certain help of things that I had problems with. Of course, back in those days, you know, it was, you know, disabilities weren't accepted as much. And, you know, she was like, no, my daughter's not blind, only without her glasses. So anyway, lo and behold, as I was in college and I was in medical school, my vision started getting worse and worse, and I thought, okay, I'll get out, I'll get the operations, you know, and then life happens, things were happening, you know, with my family and my daughter and different things, and time went on, and I never ended up getting back in school. But anyway, and I thought, well, a blind doctor is not going to be, you know, taken very well. So I was in my 50s when I started learning Braille, because I had finally lost more and more and more of my vision and was totally blind, and started taking Braille classes through Hadley. And then that's when the UEB discussion came up. And I thought, well, I better not learn something new and then have to relearn it. So I do have, you know, uncontracted Braille knowledge, and I Braille my my spices and things all around the house. And when I was president of a chapter, the Council of the Blind chapter, local chapter, I would Braille my notes and read them and different things, because you can't listen to technology while you're talking. So I had my note cards Brailled and things like that. But I never did go back to learning the contracted Braille, so I will be in touch with some of these ladies to learn this stuff. And even, and I tell people, even if you don't want to learn to read a book, which I probably never would be able to read a book, just being able to Braille things around the house, Braille a real quick note to yourself, Braille somebody's phone number, different things, I think it's worth it. And older people, they start losing their sight. Oh, I don't need to learn it. Even if you just learn a little bit, I think it will help enrich your life.
Is anybody else in the audience going to, or if not, I can kill some time and do mention how I've used Braille over my life. How much time we have?
About 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. I learned Braille as a young child. I started up in Pennsylvania, where I'm from, in Philadelphia. And I continued learning it when my family moved to West Palm Beach in the early 60s. And I used Braille throughout elementary school, junior high school, and high school. However, when I went to college, it was a little different. I didn't have access to a lot of Braille books in my school of study. So when I always used to record my classes and take the recorder back to my dorm and Braille my notes so I have something to study, use to study for, test. So that's how I use Braille out in college, mostly as a way to prepare to study for testing. When I went to work, I took my Braille writer to work with me because at the time when I went with Social Security in 1978, we didn't have computers on everybody's desk back in those days. You had maybe two or three computers for the entire office to use. So that means you'd have to, stand in line and get a query or whatever. So I used Braille when I was on a phone call with the public. That's how I did my job on the phone, was my job as a service representative. And I took notes so I knew what they needed, what they wanted, and then I could help them. So, but as computers have emerged, I've used Braille less. I still use a Braille watch. I do read Braille when I get the Touch and Listen newsletter from Daytona, the Talking Book Library. So, I'm still in touch with Braille, not like I used to, but I think it is a valuable tool, and I'd like to see the young kids learn Braille. I know at the Lighthouse of Broward, they teach Braille, but it's sort of limited. They teach the alphabet and numbers, but they don't have the time to really go and use Braille or teach Braille so intense that they really learn it so they can read Braille and use a Braille writer and use a Slayton stylus, because I had to learn the Slayton stylus. I didn't particularly like the Slayton stylus. I prefer a Braille writer. But it's just, this is how things have changed over the last 50 or 60 years when it comes to Braille. It's still a very valuable tool, and I would recommend anybody learn it if you are visually impaired or totally blind. So I want to thank you guys for listening and being here today on Zoom and in person. Again, I want to congratulate the new officers. I want to thank those who are not going to be officers. And I want to thank the former vice president for helping me. She was a real asset to me for the last 2 years, and I sincerely appreciate it. And I'd like you to give the old officers a nice round of applause.
Yay!
Now, Liz Bowden is ready to collect your money. She's ready to collect your dues for 2023-2024 and for the our CRP raffle tickets that I brought up. So please buy. We could use the money.
Okay, thanks everyone for coming. I'm going to go ahead and end our Zoom meeting on Zoom because we're just playing with money here now.
Is it? I'll entertain a motion on the from the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? So ordered. See you in August, folks.